Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
I want us to read a scripture I'm sharing with you for 15 minutes, and then we'll have discussions. Is that okay? Beautiful. So we want to talk about informality in relationships, you know, as an expression of our love. Informality in relationships as an expression of our love. Songs of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then please be searching for the last verse in chapter 5 as well. We can even look at chapter 4, verse 1 says that, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead." It's not normal. Look at the verse 10. Look at the verse 10. That same chapter 4, verse 10. It says that, "How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices." It's not a small matter this morning, no? Can you give me the last verse in chapter 5, please? I don't know the number, but the last verse in chapter 5 says what? Verse 16, right? Okay, shall we read it together? One go. "His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." This one, a woman is talking, oh. Asamaba. Please ask a brother by your side, do you have sweet mouth? Or you have a dangerous mouth? What kind of mouth do you have? God, I beg, God, I beg, God, I beg. Please take your seats. Verse 10 of Songs of Songs or Songs of Solomon, chapter 4, says that you have, it says that, "How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse." This one, a man is talking. Now, if you read it at the NIV, it says that, the NIV says that, "How delightful is your love, my sister, my bride." Praise the Lord. So here, we see clearly that the husband is seeing the wife as first and foremost a sister, then a bride. Are we there? A sister first, then a bride. And so since we are talking about informality, there has to be a foundation to why your home should not be technical, mechanical, rigid, master-servant relationship. There is a foundation to why Christ does not relate to the church. Christ being the husband of the church does not relate to the church on legalistic grounds, but on the grounds of grace, on the grounds of love and affection. Are you here with me at all? I believe that in the spirit of societal socialization or of being seen as a disciplinarian, we are likely as men to begin to mold our relationships and marriages in the realm of formality, technicalities, rigidities, mechanical kind of relationship. That relationship becomes more professional than affectional. And so we have that kind of affectionate relationship or professional relationship. And within the affectionate relationship, you have to now begin to conceptualize your home or your relationship in the way Bible has laid a foundation for it. And every man must see your partner, you are, maybe you are courting the person or you are even married to the person. You first of all, how delightful is your love? My sister, my bride. So it has to be your sister first. So how do you treat your sisters? How do you treat your mother? Before that one becomes, it also tells about the scaling up of the relationship. That it first started from a dimension of a sister, and then it's reached another dimension where now you can say that this is my wife or this is my babe. Are you here with me at all? The relationship has grown. There is a tendency for you to be in a relationship for a long time and it has not grown. And when it grows, it doesn't lose the fundamental variables. It doesn't lose the variable of your wife or your fiancé. I think the woman is fiancé. The fiancé being a sister to you and then becoming a bride to you. He said, how much more pleasing is your love than wine? So some men are drinking wine because they are not happy. You are replacing affection from the person you are supposed to love with something else that makes you happy. Video game. So the love the woman is giving you must be more affectionate than the football that I like or the video game that you are addicted to. Because now once that video game becomes more, you know, sweeter to you and more pleasing to you than herself, then she's not in the picture in the face. The video game is in the picture more than herself. And the problem is not her. The problem is you seeing or creating more attachment with the video game or with the football that I like, the wine that you like, more than the woman that you are supposed to be loving. Are you here with me at all? This morning, I don't want you to be questioning your wife. We are talking about the men. We are doing therapy for ourselves. And so, I just say, Debbie, no, it's something you need to build. Praise the Lord. That's why we are here. We are in a boot camp. So, it says that, and the fragrance of your perfume than any spice. That fragrance that the woman should be giving you is something that you should determine fundamentally. I'm not saying that you should show her to put this annuatel or whatever on her and all of that, but you should be the sponsor of the fragrance your wife gives. So if your wife is smelling, it's your doing. If your wife is not groomed well or she doesn't come out well in terms of the fragrance of her body, the way her wig looks like, the way her dressing looks like, everything is your creation. I believe that Christ being the husband and we being the church, that is the bride, we owe our blessing, our beauty, our success, and our everything to the Lord. What do we have that we did not receive? So the question you ask yourself is, what does your wife have that you gave? Or you are the foundation of she having it. If she has a poor emotional disposition, it's your doing. If she has a good one, we'll clap for you. If she has a good appearance, and sometimes a way you see that a man is not doing well is just to look at the wife. And I know that most women take care of themselves, not the men per se. And you see that they can dress well, which can deceive all of us. But when they start talking, then you see where the man is or not. So, are you here with me at all? No offense. Say no offense. Okay, so we have learned this. So you see also the man in the verse 1, the man is talking about, these are informalities that I want us to look at. Chapter 4, verse 1. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. It's a compliment. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. When you cross, you know. Nye easy. Thy hair is as a flock of goats. Yes. that appear from Mount Gilead. You see, people should not see your wife to be a bald-headed wife. Woman, your problem, because why you're technical with your internet, we need to know about you and I are stressed. The ninja to be BI as a spare part in our area, it a waste. Good to tonight and Sakoka Saint Channel. And I'll pay it. Yeah, if your wife is constantly losing hair, it should worry you, because not all hair losses are biological. Yeah, especially when you have sisters of your wife whose hairs are intact, you have to know that that system has gone under negative pressure and impact. Is the reason why, one of the reasons why the hair is not the way it's supposed to be. In the end, in your fault, if the hair too is strong, because you know that a certain level of bitterness, pain, and all of that will make people become very sick and start losing this thing. And so many women are sick just because they don't have anybody to talk to. They don't have anybody to share an informal relationship with. They don't have a playmate, even though they are married. And then they can also play to a certain level with a third party or a third person, or express. They can't be naked with that one and not be ashamed. And you yourself, you complain that they are forming too much bond and attachment to this person, and whether they are anointed and disciplined or not, you start having problems. Meanwhile, you are not there. And so most women are married but single. Hello? I'm just telling you that we all have to what? Try. We have to what? I can't hear you. We have to what? We have to try. And so if you see the verse 16 of the chapter 5, it's also talking about the fact that, please give me the verse on my screen. It's talking about the fact that his mouth, and this one is the woman talking and saying that the mouth of my husband is what? Sweet. When I read this one, it was a big problem for me, because I know that there are men in this room who can quarrel more than women. Especially when you are not happy. You know, ordinarily, if you quarrel with a woman, the woman should win you. But you always win the quarrel. What to be cast? I'm not. I see a buy one. I say, hey, just a look. I was surprised. I surprised. Hey, hey. Son, what catch me? He's just shocked. His mouth is most sweet, most sweet. There, and they are. You can see that this woman is always looking for something that the husband will say about her. There is no bad state a woman can be in, such as a state where you never have compliment from your man. They only correct what is not right or what they see wrong about you. Some of you don't even see what is wrong and they go to town with it. But worst of it all is that you never talk about their beauty, because anyway, you are always afraid of it. You never talk about, everybody is saying you are beautiful, and you yourself, you know they are beautiful, that's why you went for them. But and no, no, you are become a big scam to the woman, because you never appreciate or compliment the lady. So emotionally, she is there with you, but she's dead. She's only alive to other people. Women, colleagues, male colleagues, maybe they are siblings and what, and all of that. But really, if they didn't know the Lord the way they do, can we take a station break? Are you sure? This is my beloved and this is my friend. Oh, daughter, this woman is bragging to women that I can tell you that what my husband tells me is the most important thing that I really feed on a daily basis. What my husband tells me is what I look forward to, not what my MD tells me, not what some, you know, some of you, some young boys are toasting your wives. on social media. And their head is turning. I mean, say, Adia, Ejina, what may so, Munemo, and so, Musro Yami. Yeah, Nkomoko. Long time. Because you don't see the need. And when you are even doing it, you feel very sad inside. It's like, finally, you are broken down. Because you have to win until the day you die. She's bragging to women that my husband is my what? Open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth. And about where the pressure cooker. My husband is what? Is he my boss? My manager? Is my father? My uncle? Is he my teacher? Is first and foremost my what? My friend. Are you a this one is for reflection. Are you a friend to your wife? Like, can she boast on social media that this my husband is my friend? You know, one lady I know, she's top lady. I was always telling her that leave this man. She didn't leave. The man almost killed her. And then she left and relocated to Ghana and then married a man. And she tells me their marriage is, that man has plenty children from different wives before he came to know the Lord. And then this lady has married, and the condition biologically they are in, she normally African people will not make you enjoy the marriage, but this man, hey, lover man, the lady is thanking me. He said, daddy, you can send me tear on them. I said, man, why papa we uncle me name said there is something, a feeling like this. It's some people have never felt love before. A feeling of affection, a feeling of acceptance. Oh, you know, a man no more informality in a guma hoodo. Papa was what is so di abomni we are on about Danny Ranger over no of branch ya kotoko bini chese kontom reni chese on what to top if you see ya mami. No jina ninja wo kitchen ho. No pampan say dear na ope. Dear na ope. I say it's like the man is living his life for this woman. What? But simple things. Praise the Lord. I'm learning as I'm preaching, I'm learning myself. But your wife is not your friend at the bottom level. Is she can simply not say, you know, sometimes they will say to save face, but the reality is that some of you, when it's your birthday, they post you Valentine's Day like this, they will post you on social media and all of that, but you know that there's no substance in it. It's just a make-believe. It's a diplomatic, you know, impression and formulation of love that does not exist. It's become a formality. So every time they are looking for your latest picture to post, but the substance is not there. The substance must be there. In fact, if they don't showcase you and the substance is there in the eyes of your wife, it's better. But these things, they don't just happen. You have to work at them. Praise the Lord. So, please, let's just look at a few things. And then we will do our talk. When you look at Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2, it talks about, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. He's just showing us. Once my finchim will say, you don't brush your teeth, you don't kiss. You are not a good kisser. You are not a good kisser. I was talking to a lady who cheated on the husband, and I asked her, what really draws you to this guy you cheated with? He said, pastor, I have not recovered from his kiss. Learn how to kiss, oh brother. Learn how to what? Kiss. And I ask her, okay, is it that no man has kissed you before? So my husband kisses me, and other men have kissed me before I married. But this guy, he's kissing. It's powerful. And I said, what is the difference? So I realized that I think that the thing is still mouth to mouth. saliva to saliva, tongue to tongue. But he said, the guy loves me too much. So when he's kissing me, you can see that he's very passionate about me. Passionate about me. That is what makes the kissing very what? Powerful. Now, how can you express passion to your wife when you have not treated her well for a very long time? Or you don't even see her. Some of you, the sex is to balance your system. As a man, you need balancing. But that's why last week when I was talking, I said that a sign that your relationship in the house is not bonding well is that you don't have foreplay before sex. You don't even have the time. It's a sign that, because you see, to have foreplay with somebody, you should have a certain level of affection. You people have a good relationship. Is that not so? Married men, if you are not married, you don't understand. And if you understand, if you are not married, it's a problem. It's a problem that you understand this thing if you are not married. And I know some people here, they understand when they are not supposed to understand. But you have to tell Pastor, I understand that I don't understand. You can't touch her breast and fondle her, smooch, whatever. If you are not treated, you have insulted, you've been insulting her, you don't see her, you don't have a relationship. How foreplay now work? Oh, foreplay is what? It's work. And somebody will not be yielding. You see that most of the time they just lie down for you to have your sex and get away. Get out of here. Because there's no relationship. Are you here? Yeah. It's not like somebody's mouth is powerful than your mouth. No. It's what is coming out of you. The affection you have for your spouse, your wife, and the fact that even your heart, you want her to be very happy. You want her to enjoy you and enjoy life with you. Are you with me? But you don't have it. You don't have it. And so, basically, when you are kissing Christ, somebody is eating your saliva for nothing. There is no value in it. The kissing does not make sense. Because there is no affection. There is no connection. There is the connection is what makes the thing powerful. Ain't you now? How you start a foreplay? From where? From no, there's no connection. From where? One thing, one feel. One feel, one that. Ain't simple. Say you will ever miss yourself, even though you live together, because you really, 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 really don't share love. Praise the Lord. You may not be perfect, but your spouse should know that you love them. Are you here with me at all? You sure you are here? Are you really, really sure? Okay. Isaac loved Rebecca. Jacob loved Rachel. And look at Genesis 29 verse 30. Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. He said, and he went in also unto Rachel. And he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 more years. You should love your wife more than anybody. And when you love somebody, there are things you do. There are what? One of the things you do is that you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Praise the Lord. You what? You rejoice. Proverbs 5, 18 and 19. When you love your wife more than your work, more than your work colleagues, more than your sisters. There's a certain love you have for your wife. That's when you go to the love you share with siblings, or the love you share with parents, or the love you share with colleagues. Do you understand? It's a certain love that is reserved, like the love you share with God is different from the one you share with your spouse. So when you really love your wife, it should be more than, if you put it on the plate, it should be more than any other person. You know, except those whom you share different categories of love with. So he said, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. I just want you to look at the verbs speaking to us from the verses. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. When last can you beat your chest that your wife thinks that you are rejoicing with her in life? When you love somebody, you rejoice with her, you share joy, promotion at work, she's working, you rejoice with her, she shares your joy, you share their joy. But you don't rejoice, okay? And so, you are promoting me, okay, we thank God. Like, you are very mechanical. You don't know how to lose yourself. You can't, wow! This one, it calls for a date. So what, they say you are the best in town. You are favored. Because you are genuinely happy to rejoice and share joy with your wife. But I have heard Sabosumano. Me akrana ma bompaya ma ona. Ya promote enti enti di en wa ka ontem di a chere umuade no. Umuade saying, rejoice with the wife of your youth. Rejoice. You can't rejoice. And you are not my enemy. But just rejoice. Some of them are even afraid to share in your joy. Because it will become a problem to them. Charlie, let's stand for 1 minute. Let's stand for 1 minute. And let's walk about. Say, I think that the whole year, pastor should be preaching about men in the church. Go to about 3 people and just talk to them. I think that the whole year, pastor should be preaching about men in the whole church. We should learn how to rejoice. We should learn how to rejoice with our wives. We have been rejoicing with everybody. Why can't you rejoice with your wife? When you go on a date, it becomes argumentative, it becomes a fight, it becomes a quarrel. You rejoice with the wife of your youth. Ecclesiastes 9:9 is showing us what it means to rejoice with the wife of your youth. Ecclesiastes 9:9, it says that, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of your life. Live joyfully all the days of your life of vanity. So if you take the number of years you are married from a certain hypothetical years that God is going to give you, can you comfortably say that I have been living joyfully with the wife whom I said I love all the days of my life? Or she has just been enduring me. Maybe you are happy, but they are not happy. Please sit. And there is a tendency for you to be happy. You are calling the shot here, pass there. Are you here with me at all? Are you sure you are here? Pass here, pass there. But they are not enjoying you. Maybe you are, because of your kind of personality you have developed, pass here, breaking her down to get the best out of her for yourself. But you know that the way you have even broken her down, she can't tell people outside the house. When she sees you, there is no joy for her. The only joy she can celebrate about you is the fact that you are a Christian. And please listen. There were 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. This simply means that they all knew the bridegroom. So, you see, when it comes to love and affection and relationship, it doesn't have much to do with the authenticity of your Christianity. You can be a very good Christian and you don't express yourself in love very well, especially in a relationship. So it's a capacity that you need to build. We learn. That's why it says that the elderly women in the church, they should teach the younger one how to marry. The elderly men too, they should teach. If we don't teach these things, you would think that the blowing of tongues, you are anointed. It's all equal to love. Please, you understand? It's not equal to that. That's why my wife can tell me that this thing that you are doing here, I don't like it. It has nothing to do with anointing. It has everything to do with how you are structuring your emotional space to be able to accommodate what will make somebody live joyfully with you. If you also how become, you look for a very good way to say it, to achieve what you want to achieve. Not just be brutal, boom, 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 left, right, center. Okay, so you have seen it like that, and you are saying it like that. If her boss saw it the way you saw it, the boss will say it in a more cultured way. Are you here with me at all? Or if a stranger saw it, oh, sister, are there way? Go back, can we in a very nice way? No cry. But what dear, hey? And I won't name you answer no. And I dear Bakuma cancer. Ain't you in your day? You in your day? And to be being new, who are why yes, I'm about you and Mbe. Mbe, Jerry. And she's just, and she's very allergic to body odor, but she's over time she has acclimatized and adapted to you. In situ adaptation of you. So you can't really. I really wanted to show you scriptures where the bridegroom is chasing the bride. You can't chase your, there's nothing like that in your relationship. You don't chase your wife. So all those of you that have really lived life outside the church before, that now you are married to a Christian sister, why are you not bringing your A game to this marriage? I used to rave with the girls at the club. Now the club is your house. Some of you, you've never gone to club before like myself. But you still have to learn how to just jam the home with your wife. Hello? Have you danced in the house with your wife before? Will you even come around to dance? If it is Christmas and your wife brought, oh, yeah, baby, be with you, we say, Christmas, check. Oh, baby. Many are training, call us, I'm not baby, I do not pay Jane, oh, yeah, Jane, there, I be seen it, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just say, I don't sell credit. Kasabre, you can't find it, not done, down, hook a car, media, photo, and photo, you can't back on, you know, Zim. Meanwhile, in your workplace, they know that you are the finest man. Yeah, people are even saying your wife has got him because you have time. Who are tremor man? Do you understand? Do you know why the girls, they keep coming to you with your problems? You are talking to them. They want you to solve. I'm sure a lot of them come to you. Is that not so? You too. A lot. Some of them, you are their confidant. Some of them, you know about their homes more than their parents. Because, like, you have the time. You are tender. And sometimes, some of the things they are discussing with you, if your wife dead, discussed a quarter of it with you, you won't even have the time. My wife is always saying that, you are talking to people about so and so, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to take her home. But it's like we can have initiatives for people and help them all the way out. And we don't have that space, radius of tolerance. It's like once you are married to the lady, she has to be 100% wise, 100% on point. She has to know it and figure it out. Why are you? This is so simple. Why are you asking me? But the girl in your workplace asks you, you are happy and I'm a disturbed one. Oh, no. You are not disturbing me. Let's talk. The credit card, but some of you have friend. This service is going very quickly. But you are not being enjoyed in the house. And I want to say that to be enjoyed in the house, you know, you need to come off that technical place. Some of you, genuinely, that is how you are. You genuinely, you have to put yourself in water to dissolve you. So it's not an accusatory service, but it should just put on your mind that at this level, no, kakonungoye. Do you get it? There's a reason why they will put some meat in water for a long time before they cook it. Or they will put it in certain solution to help marinate and make it soft and enjoyable. Because it wants to bring out all your teeth. So you have become that meat to crack in your marriage. Your wife cannot even bring any idea because it won't fly. Because you are like this. You are like, you are really, in fact, I decided I'll be quoting from the Old Testament because the men are really Old Testament. Almost not allowing ourselves to go to the next level. Are you here with me at all? So, there should be some, genuinely, there's no relationship. It's a problem. You would think that, oh, we are to the baby, say, oh, I say, kasa, I be kasa, ni we munadi. Mommy, she keeps telling me that you are in the house, but we don't feel you. You are in the house, but I'm not feeling you. We are occupied. Men mostly will be occupied. But there is the need to make a conscious effort. And sometimes you break your, whatever you are doing, not every day, and then allow her to, what, enjoy you. Because you are really not, while worried about you, are not enjoyed. She's not enjoying you. And they see people enjoying their husbands. So, and one of the scriptures that I saw leading to why sometimes problematically men are not allowing women to enjoy them is bitterness. Colossians something. Let's read that scripture and then who set up and just talk. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Colossians 3:18-19. Just look at it seriously. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. When he came to the husband, he said, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Bitterness can be the reason why the love is not flowing. Now, sometimes you think, say, what do you have channel? But a way that you know that won't find channel, say, the thing keeps coming back to your mind. And when it does, you are not able to yield yourself to your wife. Because I'm a foolish man. What you say? Just say, why are the office say, and you boo on four boom, mommy, and now I'm far, mommy. And you can see that this woman has come far. But, nah. It's like you must win, especially those of us who have a high winning rate. You win every argument. You are very competitive. It's like once you married, it stopped being complimentary. It became very competitive. I must win today. Today you know that I really am the one who married you. You are not the one who married me. So, when your wife makes an input, as brilliant as it may be, you will never accept it until somebody else makes that same input or suggestion. And then a man who said no, and sometimes you are bitter and you are really, really not dealt with it. You are bitter about your way. All those things, first of all, it will make your marriage be the way it is. Praise the Lord. No, I just want you to, all of us, we should just calm down. Anybody can be bitter. And sometimes when you are bitter, you will not recognize that you are bitter. But you are bitter. Until when you say time be a woman in Delia, be people with tickle. Say one person bet trigger. Sometimes you even stop yourself from getting into that zone. Are you with me? And it doesn't make you to man. Sometimes you say, why is everybody even raving about my wife that I really, you don't even want to be there. Other translation says that do not be harsh to her. You are really harsh. Oh. And sometimes you are so harsh that my wife like this, she's a proper hard drive of a computer memory. When you say something in a conversation and then you come back and then you said this and he said, I didn't say that. He said, no. The brain now recorded what you said. And most men will say it too. And then when we are calm and we are resolving it, And they said, we said, no, I didn't say that, or I didn't mean that. But what kind of pepe 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 pepe? A man who said, the film will be recorded at all pepe pepe. I'm going to have a botape in a chair. Pepe pepe. And then a man who said, you said things that you really didn't mean to say. But something is really nunui. I think we should just do a whole one for the bitterness. Because it's at the foundation of your relationship. Why are there one for booby amount sometimes? But you can see that challenge. We are free crampo. Nanyakupon crowdy chair. No, I'm only real free. What do you rent to me free? No, they are sure to be there. Buy your own boot dear. Oh, but what do you go dear with your penny and are you quite? We are not enjoying you. That's about the point. Are we enjoying you? The love will not be. Are you here with me at all? Some of you, I can comfortably say, your wife cheated whilst she was married to you. If you are staying with her, dear, then you have to forgive and move to the center that will make the relationship become enjoyable. And say, sir, cheating, when we cheat, when we say, fine, child. And so that's what they are worrying. And then say, you have to come on, sir. Something that can be enjoyed. It's not because it's because you are not cooking it well. If the person went to the next restaurant, you will have a great experience. So why will you not go and just import the processes that will make your fufu and nkwai nice? Your husband cheated on you. And no. And no, you become the second service. But first service, men don't forgive easily. Oh. Men, even this society, men will misbehave. The society has already forgiven them. How many times you see on the social media they say that Bema Kobe Jamai? Men may jamai for mema. Me jamai tampan time to say ball as soon to man. Meme jamai. From bottom to top. A jamai. From fathers, brothers, pastors. Politicians, ancestors. A Jamaican, where many a Jamaican? Can. Please, can you talk to somebody and say that? Can you let some of your pain and bitterness go? We are going to ask questions. Please make your questions ready. Ask a question for a brother Biawen and Kasa. I know you. You know, ask a question for brother Biawen and Kasa. Mommy, come, please. Praise the Lord. Oh, take your seat. Let's just clap our hands. I'll give co-pastor 2 minutes to, do you have questions? Questions, ask questions. We just discussing informality in the home. And she will say some things to us about what women sometimes expect in this informal relationships. We go for a walk, we talk. We sometimes... when we're doing gym together. Sometimes the gym is not me that want gym, it's she that wanted gym. I'll have to support. These days I backslided a little bit more, but I have to pick it up. You understand? She says, so you don't give me motivation. We have to find ways of doing things together. Praise the Lord. You are okay in a formal space, but the marriage there is in the nakedness space. The two are naked, not dressed. You want to say something?
Okay, so, hallelujah. Powerful sermon. One day, I had some sessions with some women. And when I go home, I was thinking, can it be that women don't really like sex? Because all the women were like, no, I don't want to do this. I don't want to have the sex. Is it an adult church? So when I go home on my bed, I was thinking, and I deduced 3 C's, that if we had that intact, it will cause the home to be so lively and to be so balanced that We'll have that informality that Pastor is talking about. When you read the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 22, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave So my first C is connection. When the connection in the home is very solid. I was telling my husband 2 days ago that it's not like the women, we don't like sex. So I'm taking it from that tangent. Women love it, but sometimes when the connection is not there, it feels as if it's more duty bound. Like, Ejuma Brasso. You know, but when the connection is tight, you see that we go through the different phases, and the sun will not cause the adhesive, right? That thing, the glue, to fall off. The many seasons of life will come, and the connection will still be there. So how connected are you with your partner, with your wife in this instant? Are you connected? See, when the connection, you feel the way your wife is feeling. Sometimes I think we, the women, from a woman's perspective, I think that we, the women, we think that you, the men, you don't really understand us. Like we are speaking, and it's like we are speaking gibberish, you know. So the connection has to be there. And secondly, the second C is communication. We have to get the communication right. Every problem that will come in a marriage that has come and that is yet to come can be solved by communication. Are you friends with your partner? And most of us, where did he? How was work? Like, today, how was work? Fine. Will you eat? No. Mikodrari? Like, it's not fluid. You should be able to tell your partner anything. There should be that rapport. We are flowing. You are my friend. I can be everything to you. I can say it as it is. I remember that when we got married, my husband was saying, mommy, as you make catch me, I don't know why. I'm fancying. It's okay there. Did you really process what you were saying before? If I have to process everything, it's like every time I'm in an office space or something, I should be able to tell you without even thinking, without structuring it well. I should flow with you. I can be anything with you. When you're in the office space, you see you are prim and proper. But when I come home, I should have that fluid space where I can flow, where I can be anything that I want to be when the communication is right. And the next C is that your husband should cover you. Cover you from nakedness. And why do we wear garments? We wear garments to cover our flaws. Everybody has a weakness in one space or the other. But when my husband is, I know that my husband has my back. My husband will cover me. And what does covering do? Covering brings warmth. So when I go out there and the weather is harsh, like it or not, I always tell people that the world out there, they don't care about you that much. So you go to your office space, you go to wherever, and people are harsh to you. They just want to get. So when I come to my home space, I want a space whereby I am covered by my husband. I feel that, this is a space where I'm safe, where my husband is not addressing my fault. You are this, and you are that, and you are that. I always say one of the things that I really admire my husband for till date, it's when we got married and I gave birth to my first daughter. The balancing was not balancing well in my midsection. So he registered us to the gym. Just as he was saying, he went to the gym with me. He was covered. And sometimes I didn't feel good in my own skin. You know, maybe we are going to have an intimate moment and I'll say, turn off the lights because... Because I see the balancing, not balancing well. But he made me feel comfortable in my skin. And he worked it out with me. You know, covering doesn't mean that, we are not going to work it out. But as we are working it out, I make you feel secure. And we work it out from the place of security. And we get better.
Wow. Okay. I should have given the whole time to her to preach, isn't it? See? Well, can we have some questions, some things, suggestions? Do we have already some questions? Yeah. Go ahead, Ben.
Yes, sir. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Well, I know disagreement in marriage can be an opportunity for us to grow together. And my question is, how do you handle such disagreement so that your partner does not rub it in your face?
Okay. So how to handle disagreement so that your partner does not rub it in your face? First of all, no one is perfect. We are only perfect in Christ. But here on earth, we are growing. So even in my leadership, I say that you have to allow people to make mistakes. And the mistakes should point you, the leader, to the kind of work you need to do on your follower or whoever is you are leading and all of that. So you are not perfect. I am not perfect. We are not perfect. And if you are a man, just understand that you will wrong a woman much more and many times than a woman will wrong. Women, they don't do wrong. Women. All correct. So you will see that if you like, do an experiment. Because women hardly go wrong. But you have to understand that it is also not the will of God that he goes back to a sin. That's why the one whose sin has been forgiven, that person is guiltless, that person is faultless, that person is totally forgiven and made free. So if you want your home to be well, it's a mental position you should develop. Develop how not to say, I told you so. Because for some of us, like, every time we have to be proving right, and proving it. It doesn't have to be so. You are there to make your partner better. Now, the way not for it to be done is for you not to do it. If you rub it off the face of your partner, she would definitely look for one for you. So, in a simple way, in my home, I hardly go back to anything that has happened before. I'm always living on what is before me and what is ahead of me. Are you here with me at all? If we are going back, it means that we are going to pull some lessons there to deal with what is ahead of us. But I always tell her, I say that I'm not an accuser of the brethren. So I won't amplify it. I don't want you to have a sin consciousness. I want you to be free around and be happy to even make more mistakes. The world will not come to an end. It's like we will solve it in a very good way and move on. So it depends on the partner you are dealing with. But I feel like because we are men, we have to always take the initiative of not being that, so that it cannot be a variable that is exacted in our home. I mean, that's what I'll say. I don't know what you say to.
I also think that love does not keep record of sins. Having said that, most often there's the rubbing in effect because problems are not dealt with. I think that for most homes, we'll be surprised if we really sit our spouse down and ask, do you have any challenge? Is there something that is eating you up? You'll be surprised at the maggots and the worms that will come out. Because most often we put the problem when they come under the carpet. Well, let's put it under the carpet, then we put air refreshener on it. So when we come, the space is smelling nice, but we haven't really dealt with the root cause of what is triggering that problem. So I think that when there is a challenge, we really have to sit down as a couple and address it. I think that's something that me and my husband, we do a lot. And the when and the how and the way and the mode in which you say it is very important. So find a conducive time. But by all means, make sure that you are addressing problems as and when it comes. Because I say there is something called implosion. You know, sometimes you are boiling, you're putting everything in, So maybe one time your partner comes and just taps you on the thigh. Hi, baby. They say, pow! Because
the fuse is gone.
There's every, like, the maggots and everything, you didn't deal with. And then it starts. And you're like, ah, where is this thing coming from? Because you never dealt with the root of the problem. If your partner is fine, it's not fine. Sometimes we trivialize the feeling and the emotions of our partner. You know, we think that, oh, you should be fine, you should mature, you should grow up. But if I'm not fine, if your partner is not fine, it's not fine. I think this is an avenue that when we go home, we should sit down with our partner. You know, what are some of the things that you think I can do better? What are some of the things that I'm doing that you think I can enhance? Or what are some of the things that I'm not doing at all? If you create that platform, I think that there will not be that rubbing in effect every time.
Praise the Lord. Experiencing Jesus. Please, this is in the area of sex. And it's based on a true story. I have a friend whose cousin got married. And these two started courting, dating. And as Christians, we all know that it is a sin to commit adultery or have sex before marriage. And she also didn't have any reason to go to his house at 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. to check if it's 6 o'clock or 12 o'clock. And so fast forward, they got married. And on their wedding night, they didn't realize that the man was 6 o'clock. And so the man was impotent. That's what I mean.
It's not impotent. It's erectional dysfunction.
Yes. Yeah. So which means sex cannot happen. So in this case, what should they do? And number two, should sex in marriage be arranged or spoken about before? Maybe at tonight, maybe 6 o'clock, we'll do this or that. Or spontaneity is advised. Thank you.
Let's start from the second, right? So it's a bit of here and there. If you are, I have two doctors married. I have a lot of, like, doctor, like Appa is married to Irama. They are all doctors. So you can imagine they run shift a lot. When this one is coming, this one is going. There's a likelihood that they may never stay in the house a day in a week together. So that means that they should have an arrangement for having sex. Because when marriage doesn't have sex, the marriage will not stand. Sex is basically the fundamental thing that will hold a marriage together. You can see a marriage that is going down by the absence of sex in the marriage. It's a key pointer that the marriage is going down. So depending on your situation, there has to be some that are arranged, especially when a partner comes up that is not having enough sex. There has to be some arrangement to fulfill that aspect of the marriage. But again, there should also be room for spontaneity, because this thing is not mechanical. And that is why the informality we are talking about happens. Because when people feel good and people are happy, anything can happen at any time. Hello? And so, but if you are even arranging that Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and there's no connection, Charlie, the appointment because the connection is not, sex is there, it's purely on connection grounds. And it's a bit here and there. I feel like men should put yourself in a light where women will be very happy to even initiate as a way of appreciating how you are loving them and all of that. But if you make yourself unlovable, it's going to be a problem. I think that you should learn a lot from movies where lover boys are loved by girls. Just learn that. Then again, the first question about a person who has, a marriage has to be consummated. And so on that very night, you can decide that on the grounds of deception, I'm not going again. Or you can also give the person a chance. Maybe treatment can happen. And so if treatment can happen, maybe 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and when you go to the hospital, you will know whether treatment can happen or not. And so first of all, you give a chance. But that actually shouldn't happen that a man goes to marry a lady and has that problem and it's not disclosed. But in case you find yourself in that kind of a situation, treatment can happen. Know that legally, if the marriage has not been consummated, it's not marriage before the law. And so if you can allow some few months for the man to be tested and see if treatment can happen and all of that, and then you'll be able to make an informed decision whether you want to continue or you want to back off. So that's on the legal ground. Okay, I saw some other hands. Yeah, KB.
Thank you, Daddy. Experiencing Jesus. Daddy, I have two questions.
Quick.
But first of all, I want to ask Mommy to tell something to the ladies for us. I want them to know that they need to calm down with assumptions and give us benefit of doubt. I'm saying this on the grounds that you do something that you may have never done before. And it's like expose everything. Like something that ordinarily you wouldn't do. Maybe with communication, you are always communicating. And then just one time, you don't communicate. It's like something you know, I say. So please, Mommy, tell them for us when they come for second service. So my first question, Daddy, this is to you. What is that one wisdom? I know you've taught us a lot of things, but what is that one wisdom that you have today that if you had it earlier in your marriage, you think that maybe some mistakes in your early days of marriage would have been avoided? I'm sure that you've grown and have experienced that you have learned a lot of things today. What is that one thing that you wish you knew that maybe you would have avoided some mistakes in your early days of marriage?
Not one, two. More patience. I have something I call deferred proposition. I'm always deferring what I have to do or I have to say, especially when I'm not happy. You won't get me. You can even come down, we should say it right now. If I'm not settled and calm, I'm not, especially when I'm right, I'm not having that conversation. When I'm right and the thing is I'm not happy about the thing, I'll be very happy that I didn't do it but it was done, and I would defer it until my wisdom is stable to be able to, because when you attempt to deal with an issue from that hyperspace, you misbehave even though you may have a very good issue. So I'm always deferring. My wife used to say that I have an old man's patience. It's also, I've seen too many bad things happen from where I grew up from that I didn't think that. So I'll take time and address it. So that is one. Two, I think that I would have done more disclosures. I have been fortunate that I never dated anybody before. I've not had sex before we married, blah, blah, blah. But maybe some things my wife, I would have told her earlier than I did at the time I did. You know, in normal things, maybe buying something, doing something, just disclosure. Because and eventually you will let her know. So why not now? You know, some of them maybe later, but why not now? So those are the two things, patience and then maybe more disclosures. All right.
I thought you would ask me rather, because I'm at the receiving end. I think that one of the things that has helped. It's like now he's intentionally carrying me along. Because when we got married, I felt like I was just tagging along. Like, I wasn't feeling that we were growing together. You know, my husband will expect you that you do your quiet time, you pray, you do whatever. But now I see the intentionality of him carrying me along. Maybe you comment, oh, this book is good. Why don't you, you know, pray along those lines? You tell me, oh, read Hebrews chapter 6, the doctrines of blah, blah, blah. Now I feel more of the engagement. You see that most partners, you see that the men are growing and the women are just there. One day you'll be on Mount Everest and you see that your wife will be in the valley there. And you'll be like, there's no flow, there's no connection, because you didn't carry your partner along. And now I see him carrying me along.
So my question is on one of the statements you made during the sermon, you indicated that the way your wife or your spouse appears is a reflection of how probably you've taken care of the person. I want to understand something. In this case, probably you married at a point where the person has been socialized to a certain point before you meet the person. So I want to understand, how do you handle this? Because if you are married to the person already has been socialized to a certain point. If you want to influence or try to probably help direct, the person also feels you are imposing. So how do you handle
this? Yeah, so you know, the Bible talked about the fact that men in particular, we should live with our wives in wisdom and according to knowledge. I believe that the leadership position we have in the marriage makes us feel like we should always be instructional, directional, and even like create a nurturing by default. But it doesn't work that way. You are coming from two backgrounds, socialized in two different ways. I think that the first thing you do is to position yourself to listen, to understand how your partner functions, and see how you will adapt into that space, and then together you can make the changes on her side and then changes on your side. There's a change that has to happen in you. Most of the time, the changes never happen in the men, because you see a picture you want your wife to fit in, but your own position is a problematic position, because nobody married to come and fit in your picture. We just marry so that the two shall become one. So just imagine the two becoming one. Everywhere should be soft and melted so that the two, we call it alloy, isn't it, in science? The two elements can just merge together. But mostly because of our place of leadership and power, we don't get that melting on our side. So it's like, my wife is this, is that, is that. It can be as trivial to you as pressing the toothpaste from the middle or from the bottom. And you don't understand. Toothpaste is too, I want to brush my teeth. What is this whole fuss about? Why are you doing this? Blah, blah, blah. You, brother, you have to understand that if where she's coming from, they are prim and proper and you have to press it from the bottom. Yes, okay, why is it necessary for it to start from the bottom? You may be learning something that maybe you need to incorporate. But mostly, we are just on ground. So, listen to, I think that I took a decision some years ago that I want to, if it's not sinful, then I want my partner to live to enjoy me. And so, I have to allow a lot of liberties that will not damage us in any way. You know, but those are the difficulties that sometimes men have. You have something?
No, I think that you don't marry to change the person. You marry to harness the strength of that person and as much as possible minimize the weaknesses of that person. So I like fitness a lot. So assuming that you want to lose weight, some people would want to do Zumba. They want to lose weight by dancing. Some people would want to do strength training. Some people want to do resistance. So what does your partner, in this case, what does your wife like? Assuming somebody who likes dancing, and you say that he should use kettlebells or dumbbells, you think that the person doesn't like fitness. So given the persona of your wife, how best can I harness the strength that my wife has without breaking my wife down? Because you want me to do heavy lifting. I don't like heavy lifting, but there's a way that I can use my body weight to still build the muscles. So understand who you are married to and harness the strength of that person.
I think it's a great answer. Can you clap your hands? Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Please, Pastor, my question is, when a husband feels lonely inside marriage, what should he examine first? Is it himself, his partner, or the relationship dynamic? And then also, I want to know, how should a man measure success in marriage beyond money, stability, and staying together?
Okay. Aqua questions. Loneliness in marriage, it depends on what your variables of loneliness are. But the first point of assessment should always be you, whether you are a man or a woman. It should be the first point of assessment. That first point of assessment should tell you, what am I not doing? What do I need to do better than I'm doing right now? What allowances should I allow? I personally believe that people do better when they are freer. If you constrain people within a certain box, they will give you a certain product. So if you are around me, you see in this church, I really want you, the truth, to set you free. I want you to be free. Nobody wants to control anybody here. Me, it will be very difficult to control me. You know, and I know that the freedom is what makes me even put myself in check. Because I want to be able to come home. I am in the office with a lady. I'm doing counseling, 10 p.m., whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's not a problem for my wife. I need that kind of freedom because not all counseling can happen in the day. So if that freedom is not there, why can it not happen? Is it that I am, what is the problem with me that I can't do that? Do you understand? That's why you hear me preaching that you have to now begin to even think about allowing your wife to stay in business meetings 10 p.m. Because that is the face of her life. And if you are beginning to feel lonely because of that, then you need to just begin to check yourself. There's always something you can tweak in your life to make it work. Are you with me? Tweak in your life. Maybe the time you come, the time what you eat. Co-pastor has changed the way we eat in the house so much that sometimes I just begin to wonder if we are coming again, if I would love to come as a husband or a wife. No way. Because, and I know it's for the better, you know, for our good. Then you have to also assess the success of the marriage on the grounds of what the will of God is, what your purpose in life is. If you are first of all meeting these two things, that's the two first criteria you have to consider. Then whether you are making your spouse happy, not the other way around. For me, these are the three key levels before you go into any other thing that has to do with you. You have anything to say?
I think that for somebody to love you, you have to show the person how do I feel love. So there's something called the love language. Because assuming that I like flat slippers. One day my husband traveled and he got me high heels, like nice, very high heel, pencil high heels. And I said, thank you so much. But I don't like this kind of level high heels. So in his mind, he thought that he's doing me show by the... because he sees ladies in high heels. But I didn't really like it. So I think that you have to tell your partner, when you do this, it makes me feel loved. You know, even in love making, you have to coach your partner, touch me this way, smooch me this way, say this, whisper this, you know. So there was a time that there was a time that my husband was handling a counseling with some people. And the lady would say, I'm okay. The husband would ask, are you fine? They say, oh, I'm fine. Are you fine? I'm fine. Then my husband would say that, if you are not fine, let your partner know that you are not fine. A lot of people, we started on the wrong foundation. You know, how your wife was treating you, you are not fine with it. But you said, oh, I'm fine. So now your wife thinks you are fine. But because you didn't start on a good note, you are not fine and you are bearing the pain of it. Because that is how you have trained your partner. So if you are not fine, teach your partner what makes you tick. Like this Valentine. My husband knows that I don't like flowers. So my husband would never buy me like flowers. It's not my love language. He knows it.
The bush can bend. He's not picking it. All right, please. Any other? We need to try and close. Wow.
Hello. Good morning.
Morning.
Daddy, my question is in regards to the answer you gave our brother that there are certain conversations you can defer, especially when there's a problem and you know you're right. I think most people struggle to do with what you do in the process. What can you do not to seem resentful in the process? How do we behave?
Yeah, so I keep saying that the world will not come to an end. If, especially women have that problem, when they go to hear something, they need an answer right there. And that answer right there, sometimes there's no good way to answer a question. If you answer no, it's a problem. If you answer yes, it's also a problem. So you have to give it time, you know. But in our relationship, we have some rules. One, if you want to address something, I will listen. I will give the attention to listen. If so, address it. If you don't want to address it, that means you have the capacity to deal with it without it influencing your mood. Because in my home, I don't really try to follow mood. You have to say it if it's worrying you. If you change your mood, I will ignore it. Because you always have the platform to communicate whatever the matter is. If you are not communicating, I assume that you can handle it. Do you get it? So I also don't try to bring this kind of mood swings. I think that it's even very, very awkward for men to become very moody from time. Most men have taken over the mood swing from the women. Like moody and all of that. No, just defer it like the way you defer a payment. And push this thing. Life is way, way bigger than whatever is happening here right now. You need to calm down. Just understand the fact that you need to calm down. And most of the time when you are angry about something, you need to do the opposite of what your mind is telling you. Your mind is telling you, throw in an insult. Find that opposite direction. You know, I call it the principle of operating in the opposite. So that is when you find a mechanical way internally to say that instead of going aggressive on my wife, I'm going to go soft on her. And then maybe be around. Sometimes I don't want to be around you. I will be around. That is when I want to be around. Like I said from the beginning, it's a capacity you need to build. If you don't build it, it will never happen automatically. So something has happened, you are not happy. Maybe you just had a disagreement, and then after that, you see that most of the time, this one will walk here, that one will walk here. That is the time that me, I'm on ground. Because what came into my mind after whatever thing we are not agreeing on was, go your way, let me go my way. In the same household, but that time I'm around. If in the kitchen, I say, okay, what is cooking here? What's the one who can say? And I learned it from my pastor. When my pastor is not happy, that's when she begins to make a lot of, how do you call it? Demands. That's when you will pound fufu, you will do a PCA, you will do 3-course meal. He's taking his breakfast. And normally, these are things he does for himself. He will ask, serve me breakfast. Obe suma suma osa, you know, castle. But you know, most of us, we just find solace in separation, withdrawal, going to a corner, you don't want to talk. When you don't want to talk, that is when you have to start talking. Okay, there's a question on social media. Can you put it there? Read it for us.
Hello. Yeah. So how do you get your partner to access emotional support when you realize that there are deeper issues relating to her own childhood or unresolved past trauma, which is now affecting your relationship?
Yeah, okay. So, first of all, there are some things that are within your capacity. There are some things that are beyond your capacity for now as a partner. So, what I would say is that you must be there. Your presence must be felt by your partner, you know, in supporting that partner. That simply means that you cannot make the weakness weaker than it already is. You cannot make it uglier than it already is. So you have to be seen to be somebody who is not judgmental. You have to be seen to be somebody who is happy to hear what you have heard, and then you want to work towards it. But going forward, you look for opportunities we are in this church, so you can recommend pastor, go see pastor, right? See a psychologist. Sometimes you need to see a counselor, not a psychologist per se. Sometimes you need to see a counselor first, and if it requires seeing a psychologist, you also see a psychologist. Sometimes it's a doctor you need to see, and all of that. So there are different strands of that support that you need to bring on board. But I believe that if you go through those channels, all these ones become like resources that you can harness to help your partner to come into that space. Are we together? Are you sure you are here? So all these things, when we are able to do, we should come to a place where we have more flow in our houses. I'm expecting that you are a husband, you go and then you are hugging your wife, you are playing in the house, you know, and say, no, me, I'm like that. You know, it's not all about prayer. Leave the matter. We came to marry to chop love and enjoy love. Are you with me at all? Start talking to yourself. We're speaking well of yourselves. If you don't understand something, you are angry, calm down. Let's talk. And then just let some changes, small changes in you will bring a lot of changes in your partner. I can tell you for free. And these women, they really want to marry. But until we give them an opportunity, they will not marry. So let's put our hands together. Can we clap for the co-pastor for joining our service? Praise the Lord. Remember, oh, Christ forgave us. Yeah, so some of you, the whole informality cannot start if there is no forgiveness. You have to somewhere, somehow, start afresh, thinking that let's give ourselves a chance. Let me forgive and let us start. Praise the Lord.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Albing on all social media platforms. God bless you.